Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
A day, 90 miles on foot. That is what waited for Mary, who was 9 months pregnant, by the way, along with Joseph, who had just discovered that his wife-to-be was pregnant with the Son of God. 90 miles on foot. For Mary to ponder the wonder of this miracle and to question how it would affect her hopes and dreams. 90 miles for Joseph to consider the things that first-time dads struggle with and to wonder, what's this relationship with the Son of God going to be like? 90 miles, probably, of difficult discussions. 90 miles of anxiety and doubts. Probably some squabbles, hopefully some laughs. 90 miles. But up ahead lays Bethlehem, the little town where the Savior would be born. Maybe you find yourself on a 90-mile journey this Christmas, one that's testing your faith. Maybe you didn't sign up for this, and you don't think you deserve it, and it's going to take every breath you've got to get there. Might even feel like God's holding your feet to the fire. The fire. It will refine us if we let it. Have I not told you, be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God, He is with you, no matter where you go. So friend, no matter how long the road, no matter how many dried up streams you come to, lift up your eyes, for the little town of Bethlehem awaits. Jesus, He always meets us at the end of the journey.
You know, the funny thing about journeys is that they're not always easy, right? I think about journeys I've taken in my life, whether it's trips or whatever. So many times you're anticipating what's coming. You know where you're going, at least you think you know where you're going, and you kind of have an expectation for that. But that journey along the way really can test you. It can grow you. It can do all these things to you because it's in those journeys, it's in the day-to-day, step-by-step, that God is really interested in working on our lives. And so as we talk about journeys today, we're going to look at three primarily. We're going to look at Mary and Joseph's journey. We're going to look at Jesus's journey. And then we're going to take a look at our journey and where we fit in based on those things. So I'm going to be starting in Luke chapter 2. I'll read a little bit and then I'll comment and we'll keep going from there. In Luke chapter 2, the first three verses said this: "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register." And so we have this backdrop of history happening because that was a real event. That happened. That was part of history. And in the midst of history is when we start to see Jesus coming to the scene. See, due to Caesar's decree, families would set out for their hometowns. So I thought about that. How would that look like for me? I was born in McHenry, Illinois, and so if I had to go back there, I don't know that I've been back there in probably 40 years. But that would be kind of what the journey was like. So my journey would be a little bit longer. You might have been born in Texas. Think about that journey with no cars, no planes, no trains, no automobiles, all those things to get there. Some are, were born here in Alliance, Ohio. And so your journey would be short, but a journey nonetheless. Well, a journey, according to Webster's Dictionary, is this traveling one from one place to another. And then this little interesting tag, usually taking a rather long time. And so journeys are something that inherently take a minute to happen. Well, Mary and Joseph began a journey. It tells us there, and we would read further, we'll see that they went out to where Joseph was born, his hometown. And if you draw a line from where they were at to where they were going, it was probably about 70 miles. But what's interesting, it would go right through Samaria, so that would be an area they wouldn't typically go. And as you know, you can't just draw a straight line, right? How many times can you drive from one place to another in a straight line? Unless you're like us, you live on 44 and we drive to Louisville, get into the heart of Louisville, that would be one straight shot. But most of the time, it's not a straight shot. So it was, that's where the 90 miles approximately came from, as their journey was 90 miles. Now picture this, 90 miles walking. 90 miles walking, probably 8 hours a day, anywhere between 4 and 7 days to get there, depending on how in shape you were. Now imagine your wife or you are 9 months pregnant. 90 miles. And you know, so many times we see pictures of maybe Mary being on a donkey, and there's not real clear evidence that that's actually what happened. In fact, they would believe a lot of times riding a donkey would actually slow them down. How many know anything about donkeys? Are they stubborn? Yeah, they're going to move the speed they want to move. Doesn't matter what you want to do. And if I was Joseph, I would be battling that in my mind. I want my wife to ride, or do I want to get there as quickly as I can? And I would imagine they might not even have had a donkey for her to ride on. Or if they did, they probably were trying to transport some stuff. Either way, the point is 90 miles. And oh, did I mention this isn't flat? Anyone out there, runners, have run before any kind of distance? I know there's several of you. You don't realize how much elevation changes how hard the running is until you're running. When you're driving in a car and you get a big hill, you just push the gas pedal down a little bit more, right? When you're running or walking up a hill, you realize how much more difficult it was. And this would have been no different, and likely it would have been uphill one way, not both ways, one way to get to where they were heading. And 9 months pregnant. Can I just come back to that for a minute? Oh, we've got stories probably that we all could share about when our wives or people we love were 9 months pregnant. They weren't always happy stories. Many times I was in trouble all the time, and you know, this was your fault and those types of things. And I'm kidding partially, but it's what women go through is just crazy. I have the utmost respect. I can tell you, watching my wife give birth to 6 kids, like, if that doesn't make you love her more, I don't know what will. There's just something about that process. But the 9 months, so she would have been in much agony and didn't even want to walk, get up, let alone walk 90 miles. But alas, that is where we were at. And I won't share many of the conversations we might have had around that time, but I can tell you anyone who's gone through that process knows it would have been extremely difficult. So this decree is sent out, and then in verse 4, we see, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, where he belonged to the house and the line of David. See, he was going back home. This journey to Bethlehem is not unlike many journeys that we all have metaphorically. There's things in our life that are certainly not easy. Following Jesus is not easy. You know, you read many of the things that were said by him or others like Paul, and they said, this is hard. In fact, the world's going to hate you because they hate me. It's going to be hard. So many times there's these journeys. They're not easy. They certainly feel like we're going uphill. There's a few bumps in the road, and at times there can be large obstacles that are certainly uncomfortable. With this in mind, we're going to look at this journey, these three journeys, starting with Mary and Joseph, and then Jesus, and then ourselves. And we're going to look at these three journeys and take a look at what we can glean from them and what we can learn from them today. So Mary and Joseph, let's start there. We just read they were on their way. But before they were on their way, that wasn't the beginning of the journey. In fact, the journey could start back a few pages. In Luke 1, verses 26 through 31, we see this account. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, to Mary, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Put yourself in Mary's position. An angel. Let me just say, that didn't happen all the time back then, like it doesn't happen all the time or very often now. An angel appears and said, "This is what's going to happen." Would her heart have been pounding or what? She would have been scared. I mean, any person would have been scared. This is a situation they're not used to being in. But the angel knew this and could sense this and says, "Do not be afraid." And then he goes on to tell what is going to happen. And so now you wonder, what is Mary going to do? What is she going to do? She's pledged to be married, right? She's going to be with this man, Joseph, for the rest of her life. And so there's something that God is saying, this is going to happen. You're going to give birth to a son, and his name is going to be Jesus. And so she must pass this on. But before she could even had to pass this on, in Matthew chapter 1, we see that Joseph was also brought along on this journey. He had a part to play for sure. In Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 19, it says, "Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is in the Holy Spirit.'" And so we stop there and we see Mary must have given him some inclination. Look, this is what's happening, or she's pregnant, or I don't know exactly the details of what happens there, but he knows and he's like, "Okay, I'm an honorable man. I don't want to put her out. You know, I'm going to divorce her because that's what the law would require, but I'm going to do so quietly." He didn't want to embarrass her in any way. And so the angel says to him, "Do not be afraid." You know, I wonder, in our own lives, when does fear get in the way? Have you ever had something that you felt was clearly God calling you to take a step, and then immediately what usually wells up in there? For me, it's the doubts. It's, "I can't do this. This is going to cost too much. This is whatever, you name it, I get afraid." And we're in good company in that sense with Mary and Joseph too, as they recognized how big of a deal it was. Part of fear is a natural reaction, right? When our body, it's how we're wired. When we get into a situation that seems uncomfortable, maybe unsafe or something like that, it's a natural reaction to get fear, because it shows that you have a humanness. You recognize the seriousness of the situation. However, if that fear then directs your actions, maybe that's where it starts to go awry. So Mary and Joseph would have been afraid, and understandably so. But they kept on going on their journey. You know, the angel in both instances said, "Don't be afraid." Essentially, trust me. And the angel not necessarily saying him, but trust God, what he is doing. And where do we place our trust? Well, Mary and Joseph were faithful, and they did what they were to do, and they took their journey. They listened. They followed. And that's how their journey began. And so we see they come to that point then where the baby is born and Jesus is born. And back in Luke, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, these numbers do get smaller every day. "While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so Jesus comes onto the scene, right? Jesus is born, but just like Mary and Joseph, that wasn't the end of Jesus' journey. In fact, Jesus existed in glory as the God of all creation, and he was sent to this earth to come as a baby. Can you imagine that? I can't even wrap my mind around that concept. Maybe one example would be, and this is a really poor example, but it's the best I could come up with. Say you're in a management position, like you are the CEO of a company. Like you are in charge, you direct everything, you're the one making the decisions, you're saying where the money is spent, you're in charge of the people, all these things. And then suddenly you were said, now in order to serve, you need to go back. And I don't mean that this is a lowest job, but you'd go back to like the floor. So I go to a factory, Trilogy Plastics, here once a week. And as a chaplain, I can tell you working factory life is hard. It's hard. It is, man, it's hot. They're melting plastic. They're using this powder. They're putting it all together. They're shaving things. I mean, it's a hard, hard job. So imagine yourself being the CEO of a company and then being told that you're going to come back as a worker on the floor. And I know that doesn't do justice to what Jesus did, but again, it gets our mind in that frame set. Mary and Joseph followed what they were doing, and Jesus was born. He was born as a helpless baby, placed in the care of loving earthly parents, but his journey of the Son of God was not complete. And we know that Jesus grew up. We knew that Jesus lived a perfect life. We know that Jesus then died on the cross for our sins and paid the price. And that's what's so powerful about this manger scene, is that when we think about Christmas, we think about this Advent season in preparation and anticipation, what would it have been like? You know, because Mary and Joseph understood a little bit of what was going on, but I don't think they fully grasped it. There's no way this baby was the Son of God who came to live a life perfectly to pay for our sins. And in fact, in Philippians chapter 2, we see what Jesus' purpose was. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse we'll start with verse 6. It says, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So this is Jesus. But made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. See, Jesus existed in glory. He was perfection. And he chose to embark on this journey, this earthly journey, so that you and I, as followers of Jesus, would be saved. See, the problem with humans is that we all sin. We all fall short. We all break fellowship with God. And the other important part to remember is that breaks God's heart and it separates us from him. That's the death. That's the ultimate death, the separation from God. We will physically die, but that's not the final notion. We know that our soul lives on, and you're talking about all of eternity here. And so Jesus came into a broken world, lived it as a simple carpenter until just the time was right. And yes, he grew up and he started his ministry and he healed, he forgave, he loved people, he corrects people, he walks on water, he turned water into wine, you name it, this guy did it, and he is the one that we serve. And then finally, when the time was right, the crowds themselves hung on his very words, but they eventually hung him on a cross. But oh, they thought the story was over and it wasn't done yet. And 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. Let's put that one down for Easter time. That's a good one. Up from the grave, he rose. He is risen. He's risen indeed. And as he paid the final price, he did all those things. And it begs the question, why? Why did Jesus do that? Well, the short answer is love. The short answer is that he loves us. More than anything, the God wanted us to have a way to get back to him. And God realized in the beginning of creation when he gave free will that it was going to lead a certain way. And he made a plan and sent Jesus. But I love John 10:10. We read this earlier. this kind of the second half of this verse really tells us the why. He says, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. As I was thinking about this, I was wondering, what does this mean? What does this mean, have it to the full? Well, we realize that salvation, so many times we think salvation is eternal life. Salvation that God has given us through the power of Jesus Christ on the cross is not eternal life, or not eternal life per se, but it's what we're doing during that eternal life. That salvation is following Him, being in presence with Him. See, the ultimate salvation is that reconnection. See, when Jesus died on the cross, He paid the sins that we couldn't pay for, and He rose again, giving us life everlasting. But that life is only worth living everlasting if we're in the presence of God. And that's also tells us the flip side of this argument, that if you don't know Jesus and you die, you're going to be eternally separated from God. And I know this might not be a happy-go-lucky Christmas episode of preaching, but does it help us understand why this is so important? See, we understand who Jesus is, and that's why we celebrate His birth. Because we know that the journey He took to get to the other end has made us, as followers of Jesus, be able to live life to the full. Now, in John chapter 10, Jesus didn't say anything about life being easy. He didn't say anything about always having the right amount of money at the end of the month. He didn't say anything about never having a broken heart. He didn't say anything about those things. But we realize the longer I live, the more I follow Jesus, the closer I get to the light, the more I realize my own imperfections, and I'm just on my face thanking the Lord for loving me, because I realize that I'm much more of a rascal than I give myself credit for. And He is a much bigger God than many times I give Him credit for. And so Jesus had to take that journey. But do you understand the importance of Mary and Joseph now, that they brought, they were part of God's story? And isn't that how He works sometimes? God doesn't need us. God could go, done. Okay, you're all, it's not how He works. He chooses to work through us, through His church. And we have that calling to be obedient to Him. See, Jesus chose in obedience to journey among us, among people, so that all those who follow Him might have life and have it to the full. This is the journey we are all on. Believers, non-believers, seekers, sojourners, you name it, whatever you are, wherever you're at on that journey, you are on a journey. And my prayer is that you see Jesus in the midst of this journey. And so this last section is about our journey, or you could say my journey. If you imagine for yourself for just a minute hiking through uncharted territory, going on hikes, going into the forest, just kind of rummaging around, there's certainly smooth times. There's certainly beautiful scenery, and oftentimes it's wonderful to see, and it feels right. But then there's other times when you're on that journey when things don't feel right. They're rough times. Things are unclear. The distant destination, you lose sight of it. And you're not able to realize why are you taking each step. But an important thing to remember in our journey is that we keep moving. The journey that we're on has purpose, and destination is so much worth it. See, Jesus' journey was like this. It was worth it. Our salvation, your salvation, was worth what He did. And because of Jesus' journey, our journey also has hope. And in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He did what? Sent His one and only Son, that whoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So my question for you is, where are you on your journey? Do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, what are you doing to be in regular communion, regular relationship with Him? What are you doing in your life? Reading God's Word, praying, meditating on it, maybe spending time in solitude, thinking about things. You know, this word solitude has come into my life a lot the last few weeks. There's probably going to be a sermon on it, so hashtag wait for it. But this idea of solitude is that you're sitting in silence, listening to God. See, we, a lot of times, if we're good at one of the disciplines, a lot of times we're good at telling God what we need, right? praying, we're telling him what we need and all those things. And don't get me wrong, that's so important. God wants to hear that. But how many times do we stop and listen? How many times do we give God time to show us what's next on our journey? So I don't know where you're at right now. If you know Jesus, though, you might be in smooth times. You might be in rough times. You might have just come out of rough times. But I know this, that God loved me, loved you enough to send his son to die on a cross, to pay for our sins, to rise again, so that when we believe in him, we will have everlasting eternal life, life to the fullest. Because you see, the older I get too, the more I realize as my kids grow and grow and grow, and soon they'll be out of the house, you miss those moments. Sometimes you miss those precious moments that go by because, you know, as parents, you're always planning a lot, right? You're thinking about what's coming next, paying the next bill, all those things. But if I can impart one piece of wisdom to you younger parents and everybody else, is don't miss the moments. Don't miss those moments. And in those moments with God, they're much the same way. And they can, those are where he speaks to us. That's where he directs us. If you listen, he will speak. He'll speak even if you don't listen, but it's much more applicable if you're listening when he's speaking. You know, I say this phrase to my kids once in a while. You've got two ears and one mouth. Maybe you should listen twice as much as you talk. And then they say, how about you, Dad? Yeah, you're probably not wrong. Listening to where God is calling you. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, if you don't know this man that I'm talking about, this God man that we celebrate Christmas for, maybe you're unsure about Jesus. Can I tell you something right now? Jesus loves you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. If you would believe in him, you will be saved. So no matter where you're at, no matter where you're at in the journey, the focus this season is all about Jesus and coming back and being in communion with him. Jesus loves you and he wants you to have life to the full. But this only comes through him. This only comes through time with him. This only comes when we recognize the sin in our life that might be creeping up even right now. Maybe something's coming into your mind and you're thinking, oh boy, yeah, I sort of have a problem with that. That sin will keep you. Even though if you're truly saved, you're saved, but that sin can still hinder your relationship with God. Maybe if you're sitting there saying, I haven't heard from God recently, maybe he wants you to deal with something else or surrender this to him. I don't know. Whatever it is, give it to him. He is a promise-keeping God, and he will be there to the very end. No matter where you're at, continue on this journey. You know, Jesus loves you, and these things only come through him. And you turn from sin and begin obeying him and following him. That journey, the destination, is so worth it. As the worship team comes up and we get ready to play this last song, I love this ending song Laurie chose. What a beautiful name. We can have that understanding. When you begin to realize two things, number one, how greatly your sin grieves God and how awesome he is to forgive you, it changes your life forever.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.